Welcome back. I'm Carolyn Stain, and you are listening to Classic Lunch, proudly brought to you by First for Women Insurance. Well, I've been featuring some, truly phenomenal women on the show throughout the month of August because, of course, it's Women's Month here in South Africa. And today is no different. My guest is a wonderful musician who has played with the Johannesburg Philharmonic as well as all the top orchestras here in South Africa. She's won many of the major music prizes here at home as well as international scholarships. And she's performed around the world, including on the popular BBC show In Tune. She's performed at King's College, Cambridge, as well as sharing the stage with Catherine Jenkins at R&B Starlight Classics. I'm talking about the amazing classical percussionist, Magda Leonor de Vries. Welcome to the show, Magda. Thanks so much for joining me for Classic Lunch this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Carolyn, and a very warm good afternoon to all the listeners.
Now, Magda, you are one of South Africa's top percussionists and a marimba specialist. Tell me, what made you first decide to play the marimba and to make a career out of it?
You know, I grew up with music being really part of my life. Started piano at the age of six. And in fact, I made my stage debut also at the age of six, singing in a school concert. Luckily, I've moved on from the singing because I think I'm not the world's best singer. But and then really it was when I only started percussion at the age of 15. Somehow it was just like something clicked. You know, I had a natural affinity towards the instruments and, you know, I made relatively quick progress. That's kind of how I ended up playing this very large group of instruments called the percussion family.
I've watched the way you hold those, what do you call them, mallets, the marimba mallets. And watching you is just, it's like watching magic. It's so masterful and so graceful, almost like balletic. And it's somebody remarked that it's like watching four people playing at the same time. I mean, it is completely magic. And it's really beautiful to watch. Now, men pretty much make up the majority of percussionists around the world. What do you feel was the biggest stumbling block in getting to where you want to go as a woman in this field? Because you really are tops in your field.
You know, it's interesting. I thought of this often. To be very honest, I can't say that there have been issues where I felt, I didn't get this job or that job because I'm a woman. What I have found, and maybe it's just, you know, the one sort of mutually inclusive of the other without, you know, without my knowledge, you know, particularly with the marimba, I always say it's both my blessing and my curse, because it's not, at least in South Africa, that well-known a concert instrument. So I've had countless, you know, encounters where my concert proposals were not accepted, really, because I've had answers like, unfortunately, you know, it's not quite as popular as a piano or a cello or a violin, and by no means do I, you know, begrudge people who play the piano or the cello or the violin. So that's been interesting for me, that, you know, trying to think of whether I have missed out on opportunities because I'm a woman. And I'm sure there would have been times, you know, like you say, there are a lot of men playing percussion as probably more in an orchestral scenario rather than the solo instrument. I think in terms of the marimba, again, it's pretty evenly spread between, you know, men and women, although to me, it feels more like a female instrument, you know. So for whatever reason I'm saying this, like, I can't exactly explain. But so, so I think I've just, you know, I've just learned to not give up. You know, you just have to keep on trying to convince people that once they've heard and seen the marimba, they will love it, which really is the case.
And I know you've inspired so many young women, certainly the girls at Jeppe High School for Girls, my school, who really, really look up to you. But I want to know, who is the fearless woman that inspires Magdalena de Vries?
Carolyn, I'm going to have to say my mother. I suppose on the one hand, that seems like an obvious answer. But, you know, she was, in 1960, she was the first ever woman to be awarded an overseas scholarship at Stellenbosch University. And, you know, then she continued to study both in Germany and the UK. German is actually her field. Eventually she graduated, you know, received her PhD from UCT. And I'm one of five children, so that's a job in its own. And my youngest brother is Down syndrome and on the autism spectrum. So she had that incredible responsibility. And later in life, my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So it was these things that, you know, were part of her life. And yet now at age 84, she uses WhatsApp. She still drives, and in fact, she makes the best buttermilk rusks and nougat on the planet. So
I'm waiting for some.
We'll make a plan.
Magda, it's Women's Month here in South Africa, August, and one of the biggest problems we have in our country is the issue of gender-based violence. What do you think we can do to try and solve it?
Oh, gosh, I have to say that it's a subject that, you know, it makes one angry and sad and just frustrated. It's so difficult. I think, you know, for a very important thing that we, whether it has happened to you as a woman or even as a man or a child, you know, I think it's so important to not keep quiet, as difficult as it is. You know, it's that thing where, because by keeping quiet, you are actually, you know, empowering the perpetrator, and of course, not to blame yourself. You know, it's so easy, and I think so often, you know, somehow you end up thinking, I know actually it was my fault, or I actually did deserve, or I did something which, you know, caused the perpetrator to behave in such a way. So those things. Yes, I think we really have to almost like put a little message on our fridges so that it can become a daily mantra, you know. And I think to try and solve or resolve this, it's going to take, you know, it has to be a continuous effort, almost the same, you know, we're fighting so hard and trying so hard to overcome this pandemic with, you know, that has really overshadowed our lives and the year of 2020. And it's going to have to be something similar, you know, and having ambassadors from all walks of life and not only, you know, women, but men and even younger and, you know, all ages. And it really has to be such a community and a concerted continuous effort. I think that's, you know, because it's a difficult one.
We're suffering from another pandemic in the country, of course, the COVID-19, which has had such an enormous effect on the arts and on the entertainment industry as a whole. How has it affected you as a musician, and how has it affected our orchestras, such as the Johannesburg Philharmonic?
Well, it's obviously, you know, affected us hugely, and not in a good way, you know, apart from the obvious loss of income. You know, it's been difficult for the orchestras. You know, I mean, I think at the best of times, an orchestra has felt in recent years like a dying breed. So, you know, because it's all groups, we as musicians, you know, love performing in groups. And so it's really kind of felt like the fire curtain in the theater has just gone down and there's no way out, You know, it's like we're stuck behind a fire curtain, but there's also not even a fire escape stairs anyway. And, you know, beyond the financial loss, I think the psychological impact, also just from talking to friends and colleagues, and sometimes when I, you know, when I am on Facebook, I see how it has affected us. Because, you know, I mean, for me as one, I love the performance is basically like my way of communication. You know, the marimba in my case, or even the orchestral timpani is my musical means of communication. So to have that taken away from you, really, it's a paralyzing feeling. It's a paralyzing and actually a very isolating feeling also. So, you know, so and I think it's difficult because we all feel it, but we don't necessarily express or even acknowledge it. And I think even that is important, you know, for us to just say, oh my goodness, I'm having a hard time. You know, as much as I love playing marimba in my own lounge, I would love to get out of here too.
So, but you are doing some online performances with the JPO.
Yes.
And
I've done one online video for Africa Day with the JPO, and then I've just recently had my first solo online show, which formed part of a bigger series called 2020 Entertainment in Containment, and it's run by the fantastic Marc-Élien Ménard. I do have another one of those later in the year, and actually you mentioned earlier that or likened the marimba playing to ballet or dance. My next performance will be all about dance-inspired music, and I'm in fact playing three brand new compositions by young South African composers. I literally this morning received the third piece, so that's super exciting. And I also have another interesting project which is due next week, which is a remote recording where I'm recording myself on the marimba, and then it gets sent to the composer who is at Carnegie Mellon University in the United States. And then he puts the piece together, which is marimba, cello, and voice. You know, it's a bit of it's quite a palaver to get all of these things, all your ducks in a row. But, you know, I suppose as a percussionist, I need to be a multitasker. So I'm getting my ducks in a row.
It's time for some music, Marta, and you've selected the second movement of Beethoven's Symphony No. 9 for us to listen to this afternoon. Why did you choose this particular piece?
Well, various reasons. You know, I mean, obviously 2020 is a big Beethoven year, and unfortunately I think a lot of concerts, including a concert I would have done in Dresden in Germany, had to be postponed or in fact cancelled. But in this movement, particularly in this movement of the symphony, the timpani plays such an important role. And, you know, in recent years, I've been doing more orchestral timpani work rather than percussion. And it really, it feels like driving the bus. It's empowering in a way. And in a way, it feels like, well, how can a woman, for the listeners who don't necessarily know me, I'm rather diminutive in stature. So to be able to produce such a powerful sound and play such a vital role in a piece of music, that's really why I chose this movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Well, let's take a listen. Here is the second movement, Molto Vivace, from Symphony No. 9 by Ludwig van Beethoven. That was the second movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, and that was the choice of my very special guest today, percussionist and marimba specialist, the amazing Marta Lena de Vries. And of course, as Marta has pointed out, this year marks the 250th anniversary of the birth of Beethoven. Marta, we're unfortunately running out of time, but one last question before you go. If you had one piece of advice for the women of South Africa, what would that be?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on the show, and I've had a fantastic time. I would say never compromise on your hopes and your dreams, and remember to be kind, not only to others, but most importantly, to yourself.
Thanks so much for joining me on the show this afternoon, Magda. It really has been so lovely chatting to you, and I look so forward to that glass of bubbly once we've finished our COVID lockdown sentence.
Fantastic. I can't wait.
That was South African percussionist, the incredible Magda Lena de Vries.